Muy buenos días, bienvenidos a esta sesión fundamental para Office y SharePoint. Vamos a comenzar. So, being in Madrid, I couldn't resist to start the session in Spanish. So, that was good morning, everyone. Welcome to this foundational session for SharePoint and Office. So, let's get started. My name is Rolando Jimenez, and I'm a lead program manager in the Office Development Platform team. And as you can tell, I'm from a Spanish-speaking country. That is Mexico. I've been working at Microsoft for a little bit over 10 years now, 6 out of those in the Office team. But I always focused on developer features. So I have a passion for developers. I've always been involved in some way or other with developer features, development platforms, developer tools. So I'm really excited to be here today, not only because this is the first decade after we released the latest versions of Office 365 and Office Desktop, the 2013 release, but especially because for developers, this release marks a big milestone in terms of the updates that we're making to the development platform. Arguably, you could say that what we're doing in this release is the major update to the development platform since we released VBA in the early 90s. So that's a big thing. We're talking about more than 20 years of history, and we're making a big update on this new release. So today, I'm going to spend the next hour giving you an overview of what these investments are. I want to start with some context about why we're doing these investments, what's the direction we're taking, where we're coming from, talk about all the different things that we enabled in the last couple of years of planning and implementing this release. I want to spend most of the session really on demos, showcasing the actual features, what did we build, and hopefully show you all the benefits that not only developers, but also end users and IT professionals will get out of this new set of investments. So when we started planning this new release of the Office Development Platform, we had a vision of modernizing the platform. But we started looking at the current market. Look at what we have today in terms of Office and SharePoint. And Office is a great productivity tool. We have worked really hard to make it the best productivity tool out there in the market. And users love it because they get things done in Office. But there's another important aspect of Office. Office is where information workers and users create intellectual property. Every email, every document, every spreadsheet has some intellectual property that is really valuable for users and for organizations. So why do people extend Office? People extend Office to bring this intellectual property and connecting to other systems. So there's extensions that make Office connect to the systems of record, line of business systems that may be available in your corporation. So you have this system of action and system of record where Office plays a great role in being the front end for generating this intellectual property. Another big reason why Office is extended is differentiation. As valuable as the out-of-the-box features are, everybody gets them. So customers create customizations on top of Office to differentiate themselves from the competitors. And this is huge value. Sometimes these customizations built on top of Office are even more valuable than Office itself. So we definitely recognize that value. And we know that there's a big and vibrant ecosystem today for Office. We literally have millions of Office developers that started probably 20 years ago when we introduced VBA, which was a groundbreaking technology that allowed from end users, power users, to just fire up Excel, create a macro, and start doing some automation, to developers just doing code right in client with Excel or Word to create custom solutions. So we have millions of Office developers. Just SharePoint alone, it's also a big platform. More than 700,000 developers doing SharePoint. So we absolutely recognize the value of these investments. And even though today we're going to see a new set of direction that developers can take to customize Office, We will continue to support existing investments, including solutions built on VBA, VSTO, on SharePoint, full trust solutions, even sandbox solutions will continue to be supported. This is just a new path, a new way of doing things that complements the existing story. But why do we need to modernize the platform if we have this big ecosystem? Well, there are some evident trends that we can just not ignore. So today, there's a lot more web developers than Office developers, relatively speaking. So the developer base of people that specialize in Office is shrinking compared to the people that is doing web. So HTML5, JavaScript, it's becoming very popular, and there's a lot of people that create applications just using web technologies. More than 75% of the developers are doing some HTML5 in their applications. And we're also seeing a big trend for companies to start exposing their processes and their information through web services. So it is evident that the web is where developers are. And we want to make sure that we provide a development platform that appeals to this larger set of web developers. It is much easier now to find a web developer than to find someone that specializes in Office or SharePoint. We want to make sure that we cater for that wider developer audience. So we set a few principles for this new platform. We wanted this platform to be designed for the cloud. So the existing technologies don't really lend themselves very well to the cloud. So we, in SharePoint, for example, we have full trust solutions who run on the server. And we just couldn't scale this model to run in the cloud. So we needed a new way to bring these solutions to the cloud. And we're making a big bet on Office 365 on the cloud. And we know our customers are also going to start tapping on the benefits of being in the cloud. We also care about consistency. We want the developer that is creating an Excel solution to be able to integrate Outlook or even SharePoint if he wants to. So we want to make sure that this consistency goes across. And with Office 365, you get the full suite of Office. We want to make sure developers can also leverage the full suite of Office. And lastly, we want to give choice to developers. We want to make it very easy to use Microsoft technologies, like all the great technologies that they showcased for Azure and Windows today in the keynote, you'll be able to use here. But if you have existing investments in other technologies, in other stacks, we're betting big on web standards, so you will be able to continue using the technologies that you use today. So the result is what we call the new cloud app model. So there's this big focus on apps now, apps for Office and apps for SharePoint. So when we looked at enabling apps as a way for developers to deliver functionality, we looked at how people are extending Office today, what scenarios they care about. But we also look at the scenarios where Office is not used, but should have been used. We're seeing a lot of applications being created as pure web app, where Office could have provided a lot of value. So internally at Microsoft, for example, we have performance management system or expense management systems where integrating Excel would be a great experience, but they were created just purely as a web app. Why? Because it's very easy to throw in a web app. You just create web pages, some code on the server side, put it on the server, and from there you just manage it, right? It's really easy to manage, really easy to keep people updated. We want to provide something in Office that it's equivalent and makes it easy to manage these solutions. So a lot of investments in a flexible life cycle, not only for developers to create their apps and publish them to their users, but also for administrators to be able to manage and update these solutions, and also for users to acquire these new apps. And lastly, we want to make sure that the tool sets that developers know today are the same tool sets that they can use to develop for Office. So if you were a web developer and you have your tool set, you should be able to apply those skills and be proficient in Office. So that's where we're coming from. Let's now go and show what apps are. What are these investments that we're making? So I'm going to start with a very simple demo here in Excel. So I'm doing some data analysis around the cost of living in the states of the United States. And I put some data, so I have 50 rows with the 50 states, and I put some chart there. But the chart doesn't give me a lot of insights into the data. It's just like 50 bars. Let's see how apps for Office can allow me to do better than this. So I'm just going to remove this chart from here. I'm going to go to this insert experience. This is a new entry point that we have for apps. So that blue icon there allows you as a user to insert apps. So as I click it, I go to this dialog where I can see apps that I have acquired, in this case, from the Office Store. So there is a My Apps tab. These are all the apps that I have acquired from the Office Store. And one thing I want you to notice is that these apps are actually not installed on this machine. These apps are associated to me because I'm signed in with my Microsoft account to Office. Then every time I use an Office client, regardless of which machine I'm using, that connects to the Office Store and requests the list of apps that I have acquired and populates that list. So these apps roam with me. They are essentially pointers to websites where these apps are hosted. So let me go ahead and insert this Bubbles app. So this is an app I created at the beginning of the release to showcase some of the capabilities of the platform. So it's a very simple, fun visualization that allows you to see data in interactive different ways. So I'm going to say select table, I'm going to select the states, and boom, I can have a very nice interactive visualization. This one is kind of fun to play with. Like there's some physics there, gravity. So you can see right away how I can start customizing Office in ways which I couldn't do before. And this is just HTML and JavaScript. I was able to put together this app and publish it to the store in just a few days because I leverage a lot of existing libraries like jQuery. There's this visualization library that I use to render on the canvas and have the bubbles show up. So it was really easy for me to just leverage my web skills and create this app. So actually, if I come here and say view source, you will see that this is just HTML and JavaScript. There's no additional complexity. All it's running on the client side. Actually, if I come here to my browser, I can navigate to the site where that same app is hosted. And you can see that that is hosted in an Azure website. So I just published that HTML in the Azure website, and it's running from there. All we're doing is making it available in Office. Now, for this scenario, this app is not particularly interested based on the data set. There are some other data sets where I can do more interesting stuff with this Bubbles app. So let's look at another app. I'm going to insert this geographic heat map, which makes a lot more sense with United States. So I'm going to, again, use this app and configure it, select the same data that I had with the bar charts. And now the app recognizes there's some columns I can use. I can configure the colors, the color scale. I can give it a title. And boom, I have an app that is rendering the data in a way that makes much more sense. Now I can see the values in a geographical way, so it's much easier to do some data analysis here. And this app uses a JavaScript API to interact with Office. So I can do things like if I change the data here, like let's put Alaska off the charts, it automatically updates. There's some events going back and forth between the app and Office. I can also use all the capabilities of Excel. For example, if I filter out, let's say, let's filter out Alaska and Hawaii and just focus on the continental states, the app is going to automatically update because it knows how the data is being filtered in Excel. So there's a lot of potential here. Now, this is a simple client-side app. All it's doing is render the data in the document. Let me show you another example that really touches on the sweet spot of apps for Office, which is connecting Office with the power of services and content in the web. So this is another app that I created. In this case, I'm also going to show you that there is My Organization tab here. So this means that not only I have apps from the store, but I can have my organization publish apps for me as a user, and I get them right in my user in my Office experience. So I created this Magic Fill app. Let's take a look at what it does. So I'm going to insert it. So I'm doing some data analysis, but I would love to have some additional data about the states. In this particular case, I would like to correlate the population of the state with the GDP. Sorry, with the cost of living. So there is this very powerful engine in the web called Wolfram Alpha, which allows me to enter natural language queries to get information from the web in a very rich way. So I can say something like population of California, and it will tell me the population of California. So I would love to get this data in Excel and for all the states, but I would have to do that for every state and copy the data. Now, this app allows me to do exactly that. So I'm going to select this table, and I'm going to add a new column called population. I'm going to express the same query that I did on the website. I'm going to say population of state. I'm going to click a button here, and that is going to go to the web service exposed by Wolfram Alpha and start pulling that information from the web using that very powerful engine just with one click and filling my Excel spreadsheet for me. So right there, that is apps making me much more productive. Something that could have taken like half an hour, I can do it with just one click. And this is the power of apps in Office. Now, apps run in many of the other clients. I can also have apps in Word. In this case, I have this research paper that I'm doing. Let's say I want to replace this image, so I can also come here to my apps, and in this case, I can use the Bing image search. I can select some text. Bing image search is going to search images for that. I want a map. So let's see, this one looks good. I'm going to select the image I want to replace, and I want to add it to my document. So the app is going to help me author the document. So, and again, this is just a web page created by the Bing team. Apps are also available in Outlook. So in Outlook, they have an additional behavior where they can actually appear contextually based on the contents of my email. So for example, if I open this dinner party invitation from Brian Jones, I can see there are some apps that automatically detected some of the content, like an address or a telephone, based on a regular expression that they care about. And in this case, for example, this Bing Maps app detects this address and allows me to map that particular address here. And again, this is a web page. I can see this is Microsoft campus in Redmond. And just get a sense of where the address is right away in context with Office without having to go to the web. One other aspect that I want to quickly show you is that these apps run symmetrically on all the Office clients. So I have the app on the Outlook desktop client, but if I go to my Outlook web client, I can also see that same app. So I have the same email from my same mailbox. I can come here and see the Bing Maps app. Same experience. So from a developer perspective, I just wrote the app once, and it just works wherever Office works. Have this other one from LinkedIn, for example, that allows me to see the LinkedIn information from all the contacts in the email. So I can see all these contacts. I can drill down into some of them. If I'm not connected to LinkedIn, in LinkedIn with them, I can just click connect, and very easy, establish some relationships. So we have looked at apps in Office. Now let's quickly switch to SharePoint and see how apps look like in SharePoint. So I'm going to navigate to my team site. This is the home site for my company, in this case, Contoso. And you can see all the new UI that we created in SharePoint. So one thing we did in SharePoint is we promoted apps as a top-level concept. So a lot of the things that before were more technical terms for users are now exposed as apps. So a document library or a task list or a meeting is now exposed as a set of apps. And apps in SharePoint are installed to sites. They're actually not installed, and we're going to talk about that. They are associated to sites. So if I go to my site contents of that site, I can see a bunch of apps available here. So you can see this help desk app. There are some like site assets, which is a built-in list. Let's go ahead and add a new app to this site. I'm going to click Add an App. And I'm going to see an experience where I see all the apps that I can add. These are apps that were made available to me as a user of SharePoint by my administrator. But I can also go to the SharePoint store and acquire some new apps from the store. So in this case, I'm looking for an app that allows me to manage my meetings in a better way. So I'm going to search for an app that does meetings. And I can see the app. This one from AppPoint looks interesting. Let me click on it. I can see more details, so a typical store experience. I want to add it to this site. So I just click Add It. I'm going to get this trust prompt. So this is an important aspect of the new model. So these apps, we will talk, run off outside of SharePoint, but they can still interact in a very rich way with SharePoint. And this trust is basically telling me, you're going to add this app to the site. Do you want the app to have access to some content, including lists, basic information about users, and user profiles? I'm going to say, yes, I trust this app. So in just a few seconds, the app is going to be ready for me to use. So there it is. Now, I want you to notice that right now I'm in this SharePoint site, which is hosted in the Office 365 data center in the US. I call Apps Demo US. Now, when I launch this app that I just installed, this app is actually the same way the Bubbles app was running in Azure. This app is running on a different server. In this case, AppPoint is hosting that app in their own environment. So if I looked at the URL of where this app is being loaded from, you can see this is coming from apppoint.com. So let's see what this app does. This app allows me to create a new meeting. So let's say I'm going to create a new meeting, prep for tech ed demo. And I'm going to set myself as the organizer. So you can see right now how the app is now leveraging the fact that it's connecting to SharePoint. It can recognize SharePoint users and make them available in the context of the app, even though this is running in the AppPoint server. So I want to make this meeting really efficient. Let's make it a 10-minute meeting. Let's type a location here. Let's say let's meet in the main lobby. And let me invite a couple of folks from my team. And there it is. I'm going to create the meeting. Now, with the new model, we talked about developers having flexibility. AppPoint could have used a database to store the information for this meeting. But they made the decision to actually store this meeting information in SharePoint itself. And let me show you why that is relevant. See, this is taking. So while this loads, I'm going to explain the concept behind this. So AppPoint is storing these meetings in SharePoint so that all the data can now use and leverage the out-of-the-box features of SharePoint to collaborate and share this information about the meetings with other users. So seems this is taking. Let me try to refresh. So let me try once again. It's a little bit slow. Okay, there we go. So prep for tech ed demo. Sorry about that. Let's copy. So let's try again. So hopefully it will work this time. So what I wanted to show you is when this succeeds, there is a couple of tasks in my team site task list that will be created. And because the tasks are there, I can basically start assigning tasks to other users. I can set up alerts. I can use workflow to associate processes every time a new task is assigned to me. All right, so we'll probably come back to this demo. Let me go back to the slides. So I'll come back when the demo finishes. I'm going to talk about some of the concepts behind this new architecture that we have for the Cloud App model. So in SharePoint 2007, we had full trust solutions. So full trust solutions were server-side solutions that allow me to customize SharePoint. They were great, very flexible, very powerful, but they also required you to have full control over the box. So these were great when customers had their on-premise installations of SharePoint, and they could just install the solutions and manage the environment. However, with the move to the cloud, it becomes a little bit harder to enable users from a security and performance perspective to just update any type of code. So in 2010, we introduced the notion of the sandbox, sandbox solutions. So sandbox is a runtime environment that is a little bit more restricted, that throttles what the apps can do from a security and a performance perspective, and it's much easier to let other people beyond the administrator have privileged users to install solutions. Another thing that we introduced in 2010 is the client-side object model. So this is a big step forward towards enabling richer apps. The logic no longer needs to run on the server only. It can also run on the clients. So with a client-side object model, you can have now client-side logic running in SharePoint itself, or you can have also mobile applications that use web services and REST APIs exposed by SharePoint to talk back to SharePoint. So definitely a big improvement. However, we have received feedback about the sandbox being too restrictive. So people want more. They want to be able to use databases, all the latest technologies, Azure, et cetera. And we found that just keeping up with the race of trying to add all the features to the sandbox was really not very efficient. So in 2013, we added the ability to basically pop out your logic that you would put on the sandbox and get the benefits of both full trust as well as the sandbox and having you put the logic outside of SharePoint. So you can still have all the richness of server-side logic, it's just running on a different environment. So you can run it in Azure, you can run it in IIS, Internet Information Services, or you can run it in any other vendor stack like LAMP. What we did is we exposed a set of very rich APIs in SharePoint that allows your code from any other server to very easily reach out to SharePoint. We're using OAuth as the authentication protocol. So you can have full interaction with SharePoint, both from the server side as well as from the client side. So we'll see a lot of investments in this new API for SharePoint. So in terms of end-to-end deployment and administration of this app, let's talk about the life cycle. So from a developer perspective, you create an app using web technologies. And really, an app, as we saw in its most essential form, it's a web page plus a manifest that describes how that web page integrates into Office or SharePoint. That is the essence of an app. So as a developer, you create those two artifacts, and then you deploy them. The app manifest goes to a catalog or a store. It could be the public Office store, or it could be a private catalog for your organization. And you deploy your web page project to any web server you want. Of course, Azure is going to be a great choice, but you really have the ability to select any environment. And once that's done, that user experience will be available the same way we saw it in SharePoint and Office in the earlier demos. So I want to switch back to my demo machine. And let me see. Okay. So I want to show you how to create an app from scratch. And I'm going to use just, I could use Visual Studio for this demo, but I'm going to use just what the operating system has to offer to me to just really prove the point that it's really based on web standards. There's really no dependency on proprietary technologies or special tools that I need to have. So I'm going to create an app for Office using just Notepad and the file system. So I want to show you, in this case, open. I have an Azure website already that I can use to create and publish my app. So if I navigate to that Azure website right now, there's really nothing there. There's just a default page with a message. Now, what I'm going to do is I'm going to create and publish it to that Azure website. So I'm going to open an FTP. This is just a regular FTP standard protocol against that Azure website. And you can see that in that website, there's just two pages. There's the default page that we just saw, and there's just the CSS that that default page is doing. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to start a new HTML5, and I'm going to, I could type this HTML. I'm just going to save time and show you what I have here. So this is just regular HTML. You can see there's a few interesting things here. There's the source. Here I'm including the Office JavaScript API so that I can interact with the document. So very easy, just one-liner include, and I can interact from this app with Office. Now I have an initialize function that I'm going to leave empty. And then I have a couple of functions. There's a translate function. This app is going to be a translator that allows me to translate text from English to Spanish or Spanish to English. And there's a callback function that basically handles the translation. And in terms of HTML, I just have some title. I have a button. When clicked, it calls the translate function. And I have a div to receive the results of the translation. So very simple page. And the translate function, really all it does is it uses this Office API to get the selected data. And then it's going to pass that to this web service. This is just a simple REST service call to Bing, to the Microsoft Translator API. I'm going to pass as a parameter the text that the user selected in Office, the language I want to translate from, and then on complete is going to call my translate callback, which is here. And the translate callback is going to receive the translated text and just add it to an HTML element. So very simple, just a few lines of HTML and JavaScript code. So I'm going to throw that just using FTP to my website there. So this is just going to copy that HTML file. Now, if I go to that website and navigate to that translator HTML file that I just copied, you can see here's my button, here's my title, and here's the div. So nothing fancy, very simple. This is actually running on the public Azure website, so if you can browse to the URL with your phone, you can actually see this app right there, just published it. Now, the next thing that I want to do is, now I need to describe how this web page is going to integrate with Office. So I'm going to describe that using an app manifest. So an app manifest is another simple XML file that I can author in any XML editor, including Notepad. And this is it. There is some ID, some provider name, a title for the app, some description. I'm going to express the capabilities. Where do I want this app to run? In this case, I want to this app to run in documents or workbooks. And the most important aspect of this manifest is where is the app hosted. So you can see the URL is pointing to that location where I just published the app. So very simple. And I also declare some permissions. I need to read, write to the document. So once I have that manifest, what do I do with it? So I'm going to publish that manifest, in this case, to my corporate catalog of apps. So if I'm in Office 365 and I'm an admin, I can go to this admin experience for SharePoint. And this is where admins will be able to manage apps. So I can go to this app section of the management console and see that I can do different administration tasks like manage the app catalog. I can purchase new apps for my organization. I can manage the licenses. I can configure security settings, enable or disable users to use the store. I can monitor apps, or I can manage the permissions for the apps. In this case, I'm going to go to the app catalog. And you will see the app catalog is just a very simple site that allows me to manage list of apps. Apps for SharePoint, in this case, I have a couple apps that are available to this organization, the Help Desk app and the Creation Wizard. And then apps for Office. So in this case, all I'm going to do is I'm going to drop that translator XML manifest into my app catalog. And I'm going to see it there. Now, if I go back to my Excel client, and I come to the insertion experience, just by dropping those files and making those files available, I go to my organization. I can say refresh here. And now my translator app is immediately available for me. I can insert it. And I can now use it to translate some text. So I can click translate. And I can see how easy it is to create apps, deploy them, make them available to users. So now let's take a look at the more complicated example and how the tools make it really, really easy to create apps. So I'm going to fire now the full experience in Visual Studio. And in Visual Studio, there's now this new ability to create projects for apps for Office and apps for SharePoint. And this is going to, of course, give me a very nice wizard, and it's going to create everything I need to create these apps. Now, what I want to show you is I want to open an existing project. And this is going to open an app for SharePoint project that I already have called SharePoint Connect. So just to talk a little bit about the scenario that I want to enable this app, every user in SharePoint has a page we call My Sites, where I can see a news feed. I can see everything that I'm doing as a user. I have a wall where I can post messages and share information with other users. I can see the apps. I can see my blog. So what I want to do is I want to create an app for SharePoint that allows me to share information that I find on the web, interesting articles, very easy, not only with my friends, but I want to share now with my wall, with my colleagues. So that's what that app is going to do for me. So in this case, I have this app for SharePoint that it's, as you can see, a couple of projects. There is a SharePoint Connect, which is basically the manifest aspect of my app. And then there is a SharePoint Connect Web, which is all the web projects. So as you can see, I can have server-side code, client-side code, HTML. I can have a very rich app. And when I click here, Visual Studio is going to automatically connect to my Office 365 account. So I'm going to log in. So this is a big improvement compared to the current story for developers, where in order to develop for SharePoint, I would have to install SharePoint on the same server and probably have a couple of servers to have a development environment. With this, I'm basically doing remote development. I'm developing on this machine, and I'm connecting to a data center in the US, connecting to my Office 365 environment. So I just logged in, and I'm going to run this app. So just click play here. So what this is doing is it is compiling the app, creating a package that will be deployed to SharePoint. But actually, what is deployed to SharePoint is just the registration, that app manifest that registers the app so that it's available to be added to sites. But the actual opcode is running on my local machine on an IIS server, and I will show you that. So I'm going to run the code locally, but still connect back to SharePoint. So you can see how SharePoint is asking me, hey, this SharePoint Connect app, and this is happening on the SharePoint site in the US data center, is asking me for permission for this app. I'm going to trust it and say, yes, I want to trust this SharePoint Connect. Now, you're going to see that the app is launched and run. And this is actually now running on my local host, on my local web server. So this is huge for developers, because now I can do all the full development on my local machine, debug the app, but still connect back to my environment where I will install the app. So in this case, this SharePoint Connect app gives me a way to click this link and basically post to the wall the current page. What I can do is I can also drag this, put it on my favorites bar. And whenever I click, that app is going to be activated, and it's going to post the current page to my SharePoint wall. So let's navigate to some interesting site. Let's see what is in the news today. And I want to share that with my colleagues, because maybe it's relevant to what we're doing. And I'm going to click that SharePoint Connect link app. I'm going to add a comment here. And I'm going to say post. So I put a breakpoint in my project, so you can see how this is running on my local machine, and I'm stepping into the code that is going to connect to SharePoint to make the post to my wall. You can see how there's a create thumbnail function. This actually is going to take the URL of the current page, is going to instantiate a browser control server side. In this case, the server is my machine. And it's going to take a snapshot of that page, and it's going to post that to my wall. So this is not something that you could have done with the SharePoint Sandbox, for example. You cannot run this type of code. But with this new model, you can actually have the flexibility of running any type of code that you want server-side. So I'm just going to let it run. So it's going to generate that thumbnail. And when it's done, I can come back to my wall in my SharePoint site, and then see that new post that has been created. So all the logic happens server-side, in this case in my local IIS host, but integrated very nicely into my SharePoint experience. So very easy way to develop apps for SharePoint using the power of Visual Studio. Now, let's take a look at another capability of the tools. Just finish this project. So for my next demo, I wanted to show you. And let me see. So I couldn't create the tasks in the first demo. So I'm going to open up a backup where I had the Meetings app already instantiated. And what I did with the Meetings app is that I created a couple of action items for that meeting with the app. So the app, as I said, was using SharePoint to store the information. So I created a couple of action items for my prep for TechEd demo. I have two tasks that now are published in a list in the SharePoint site: review slides assigned to Brian Jones, and adjust demo script assigned to me. Now, if I came here to my About Me page, one of the advantages of that Meetings app to be using SharePoint is that if, for example, I go to my own page in SharePoint and I click Tasks, SharePoint aggregates all the tasks that are created for me in a single place. So you can see how that task is going to be updated and shown to me because it was just assigned to me by the app. So I can have this adjust demo script. So let's go to Visual Studio, and let's say I want to create a mobile experience for this AppPoint Meetings app. I want to be able to manage meetings from my mobile phone. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to close this solution here. And I'm going to start a new project. And this is something that we just recently released. going to create a new project for the Windows Phone. This is available with the new SharePoint SDK for the Windows Phone. Create new phone app. And this is going to give me a very easy experience where a wizard, I think I chose the wrong type of project. Let me do again. Okay. I'm going to create a SharePoint list application app. Sorry, chose the wrong project. So the first thing this app is going to do is going to ask me what SharePoint site you want to connect to. I'm going to enter the URL of the SharePoint site where I have my Meetings app installed. In this case, I switch back to my backup site. It's the Apps Demo UK. And I'm going to say Find Lists. This is going to prompt me for my credentials to this site to be able to connect, of course. Oops, let me actually, because I switch environments, my credentials got mixed up. So I'm going to, again, start the project, type the URL. And then find lists. So this is going to prompt you for login with your credentials. Oops. Let me just try one more time. Seems I'm getting some credentials mixed up on this machine. Okay, try one more time. Let me try with the original US site. So I'm going to say find lists. So okay, it recognizes. So it's going to show me all the lists that are available on that site. I can pick the action for meetings, which is the list that the AppPoint meeting AppPoint app created. I'm going to say I want to see all tasks in my phone and what operations, all operations I want to be able to create, edit, and delete tasks. And then the fields that I want is the task status and the assigned to and description. All right, so just finish. So that's going to create an app that if I run it here, it's going to run on the emulator. So it's going to automatically prompt the sign-in in the phone experience. So again, here I can just type my user. And this is where you all see the password. Keep me signed in. And that's going to display the list of tasks. Of course, because I'm connected back to the US where the demo didn't work, I don't have any tasks here. But if there was a task there, I would see it here. But I want to show you that I can create new tasks from the phone into that same list that was created by the AppPoint meeting. So new task from the phone. I'm going to say in progress. I want to assign it to Brian Jones. Or let me assign it to me. So I can see in some description. You can see how it's nicely integrated into SharePoint. It automatically resolved my username based on the SharePoint user profiles. It's going to say test. And I'm going to click save. And that's going to save the task. It's already done. So if I go back to my SharePoint site and go to the action for meetings, I can see that task just got created there, along with the other tasks that the app may have been created on that same environment. So this is pretty amazing. You can now create all these extensions and companions to the main experience that you get in SharePoint, and then create these rich end-to-end scenarios. So some key takeaways from the demo so far. So apps are really simple to create. All you need to do is be able to know how to create a web page, a manifest, and you saw how simple it is to do it. Of course, you can do a lot of the very rich stuff that you can do with Visual Studio. You can integrate into Azure and do a lot of more complex stuff. But in essence, it's a very simple concept. We saw how apps fully embrace web standards. We saw some of the really good and great support from Visual Studio to create apps for SharePoint, apps for Office, for the phone, and integrate into SharePoint. And we saw how also it's very easy to streamline the lifecycle. Admins can deploy apps to users, very simple, but just publishing into their catalog. Now let's think about, we saw apps for Office, we saw apps for SharePoint, we saw some mobile apps. How do you put all these together? So let me show you a demo that integrates all these into a single scenario. So I'm going to go back to my site, and now I'm going to use that help desk app that we saw before. In this case, you can see how in my homepage I have this help desk app part. So apps in SharePoint can have that immersive experience where I launch the app and it goes to a website. But they can also surface in different ways. In this case, I have this app part that basically, again, this is coming from an Azure website, this information. But it's being surfaced as part of a page that I can integrate into any web page in SharePoint. So in this case, I'm going to click on the app and launch the full screen experience for that app. And you can see, again, how that app is being hosted in Azure in this case as well. So, but from a user perspective, I'm using that app. I came from a SharePoint website. And the app can give me some context to make the user feel that it's still in SharePoint. I can have a back button to the Office 365 site where I came from. There's the user that I'm logged in with SharePoint. So the user still feels like it's part of the SharePoint experience. So in this app, I can do basically support tickets for my enterprise. It's a help desk app. I can see the alerts. I can create new tickets. So let's go ahead and create a new ticket. So let's say network slow and ticket category. And then just create that ticket. So now the ticket's been added. And you can see how in this app, the developer can provide any type of UI. They can integrate to any type of database. In this case, this is being stored not as a SharePoint list, but in a SQL Azure database, but still integrated into SharePoint in many ways. So one of the ways this integrates into SharePoint is that as I create that ticket, you can see how this email just got sent to me. So I can click on that email because I created the ticket. And that email tells me, oh, there's a new ticket that has been created. Now, this is in Outlook. And there is this app that automatically recognizes that this is a ticket email. And I can click on it. And this is, again, the app surfacing, not only in SharePoint, but also surfacing within Outlook. So now I have this app for Outlook that is part of the overall solution that allows me to see real-time information about that ticket. So you can see how this starts to make sense from an end-to-end scenario perspective. Now I can create these very rich apps that extend to all these different places in Office and SharePoint. And all these based on a consistent developer model where it's all web-based. I can host the logic of the app wherever I want and still surface the different experiences in the different endpoints across the clients. So in this case, I'm just going to close this one. And I want to show you another integration that we have for this app. So I can also see some graphics about the tickets, how many tickets have been created over time. But I'd like to analyze this data in Excel. So I'm going to, as part of this app, click on this button, Analyze in Excel. And this is, again, going to integrate the app experience into the right Office client, which is Excel, where I want to analyze my data. So as I open that Excel file, I can see how there is another app that is part of the same help desk solution that just surfaces automatically in this Excel document that I open. So here, I can select the date range and say get tickets. That's going to query that database and integrate that into my Excel experience. And from there, I can just use Excel to do the data analysis that I want. I can add charts, et cetera. The point here is that it is now a reality that you can have a consistent experience to create all these extensions to the different points in Office. And that allows you to reach end-to-end scenarios in a very easy way. Let me close this, and I'm going to go back to the slides. Okay. So some key takeaways. Apps enable rich end-to-end experience. You get the consistent development experience of using web technologies, being able to host the logic anywhere you want, and leverage any type of technology on the server side. So that's pretty much all I have. Now, I want to talk about what is the call to action. So there is a couple of sites that are really important and interesting. Reimagine SP Dev, it's a new site that we put together where we have a lot of content, videos, especially focused on how do you go from your current knowledge about doing full trust apps or sandbox apps into leveraging the new possibilities for the new app model. And then there's dev.office.com. So dev.office.com is a place, and I'm going to just show it really quickly. It's the single destination where you will find all the content about apps for Office and apps for SharePoint. Just go to this site and you will see videos, a lot of the documentation, blog posts, articles, etc. And we have made it also really easy for developers that don't do Office and SharePoint today to get started with a very easy experience where you can just with a simple step sign up for a developer site. So the developer site is this interesting concept where you as a developer get, if you're part of MSDN, a free subscription to Office 365 for development purposes. So if I click try for free, I will get a sign-up experience and I will get a developer site. Let me actually, since we have a couple of minutes left, show you how that looks like and some of the other cool things that we have there. So I'm going to navigate to a developer site. This is what I get when I sign up through that Get Started experience. So this developer site is basically a full Office 365 environment that I can use to develop apps. I can use the Visual Studio experience that I showed today that I can connect to this site just by typing the URL of my site. Or I can use another very interesting tool that we have that we call Visual Studio Tools for Office 365. Effectively, it's a web browser-based tooling experience that allows me to create apps without installing anything on my machine. All I need to do is fire up the browser, and when I go to my Office 365 site, I will have this build an app entry point. If I click on it, I will get this browser-based tooling experience that allows me to start creating apps right in the browser. So you can see there's this wizard. I can create, let's say, an app for Excel. I can say create. And this is going to give me a full code editing experience with IntelliSense all in the browser. So you can see this app already created an empty project for me. I could start doing additional code. I have scripts. I have an app.js where I can add my logic. I can run it in the browser as well. So full development cycle, all within a browser-based experience. So I'm just going to run the default project template that the tools created. This is going to package my HTML. And it's going to run the app in the Excel web app. So I don't even need to have Office installed to create apps for Office. I'm using the Office web apps that are part of my Office 365 subscription to be able to create apps. So in this case, this is a default app that comes with the project. I can actually use it here, say write, and I can write. And I can also read whatever is selection. This is just sample code that we put as part of the project template. But you can see how easy it is really to just go to dev.office.com, get your free trial or your MSDN subscription to your developer site, and you'll get this browser-based experience. And if you want to move from Visual Studio, there is also a very nice Visual Studio round-tripping experience where I can click this button and I can open this same project in Visual Studio and continue my development there. I won't have time to show that where I want to leave at least a couple of minutes for questions. But as you can see, a great Office experience, great SharePoint experience for creating apps, a lot of flexibility, and hopefully you guys will be excited and go to dev.office.com and try the new tooling experience. You can also download Office desktop clients and Visual Studio and try some of the things that we showed together in this demo. So with that, just one last thing. Please go ahead and evaluate the session. This really helps us to improve the content for future events. And thank you very much.